To Die For podcast includes the spooky, scary, salacious, and sometimes psychotic. Listener discretion is advised.
You got a vagina cloud going on.
And honestly, I don't want my vagina in a cloud, even though it does sound kind of nice now that I say it out loud.
That sounds kind of comfortable. Like, if a vagina cloud existed, what would that comprise of?
I mean, a lot of vaginas, probably.
You think it would be a... I feel like that would be a vagina pit.
Ew.
Right. That sounds less
comfy. I don't
want
to be in a pit. I want it to be in a cloud. Pits sound awful. My vagina already is a pit.
Awful.
Great. Hey, I hit the button.
So on that note,
I hit the button.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Welcome back. I'm not sure what has happened lately, but I think the past, like, four episodes has just been something about dicks or vaginas or...
That has been every episode, and if you think that it's not about dicks and vaginas, you need to go back, re-listen, and I'm sure it is.
Sorely mistaken.
Okay, but, like, the very first thing out of our mouths is just, like, dicks or vaginas.
Like, I feel like the vaginas don't get enough play, but dicks definitely are.
What? You don't think pussies get enough play? Really?
No. We've talked, I'm sure we could go back and do a word count of vaginas versus dicks, and dicks are going to win by a bazillion, because I think it's more socially acceptable to talk about penises than it is to talk about vaginas. Mostly because women can't even look at their own without a mirror. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of flexibility.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
I
where is this going?
I mean, I can't see, like, the bottom of my... Well, that's not true. I can't see the bottom of my balls.
Can you see your taint?
No.
I can see your taint. I mean, not right now, but if you bent over, I could.
Well, next Wednesday, my taint's getting inspected.
I'll show you my taint.
I'm getting my taint inspected next Wednesday, everyone.
I think if we could do little, like, taint paint, it's like face painting, but it's more like taint painting.
Do you do it with, like, fingers or what?
I mean, I would do it with a brush for more finer detail.
What would you paint on there? Like a small, like... Like,
what do you want
bus?
Painted there? Like, I was thinking a race car, but whatever you want, sweetheart.
I think I want the Yellow Submarine from the Beatles album.
Okay, yeah, no, it's definitely going to be a paintbrush. And also, can you clean that, like, better?
What do you mean?
I'm not sure what your cleaning habits are, but I would like them to be better.
I mean, I clean pretty much every day.
Yeah, but do you really think about the taint when you're cleaning?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's good. Well, still, do it more.
Continue.
Nobody cares.
Welcome back to Die For. I'm Lizza. This is Lolo. That's Noodles. And guess what? We're talking about Stanford University.
Oh.
Wow, look at you. What an intro.
Talk about prestige.
So wait, is this spooky or murdery?
This is spooky.
Yep.
Okay, and then next week we'll be murdery at Stanford?
No, we did our true crime, the prison experiment.
Oh, I see how this is all coming together now.
Yes.
Right?
It's almost like I had a plan or something.
I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, who knows. All right, well, yeah, so last week we had weird prison social experiments. This week we have ghosties.
I did go back and actually watch that documentary.
I
and
did
it
not.
Was definitely I... interesting. And I am excited to hear that all of that bullshit did result in some prison reform. So that's cool.
Yeah. That's really funny. Mine just yelled at me too. Just not as loudly.
I think I might have to take care of this because she is just, I wish you could see it. She's sitting on the bench next to me, just yelling at the door. You can get out if you want.
She's like, no.
No, she wants me to feed her.
All right, are we?
We're ready. I'm ready. Stanford.
I think we're ready to go to Stanford.
Okay, so real quick, let's look at the history of this venerable institution.
Gross.
Damn, we're really dragging Stanford through the mud.
No. I just, venerable. Ugh.
Do you just not like Stanford?
No, the word venerable just sounds so prestigious.
Oh, okay, we're just so bougie. You're excited about the like $3 word that we used.
He didn't like it. It was not a good excitement.
Go fuck yourself.
All right. So Stanford, which is actually, I had no idea, the Leland Stanford Junior University, big old long name, was founded in 1885 by Jane and Leland Stanford in memory of their only child, Leland Jr., who died at 15 from typhoid fever.
Oh, fuck.
I know. It sucked. Yeah, I guess they, like, really doted on him, so they were super devastated.
So we'll make a whole fucking college that he couldn't go to because dead.
Jesus. Yeah.
It's pretty...
Yes.
Wrapped up in a nice little package with a bow on it there.
There you go.
Hey, I just call like I see it.
Jesus Christ.
Well, their goal was to create a memorial for their son, as well as to do something for other people's children. And so they went at it.
That's nice.
Yeah. They did actually go at it like totally outside of the box for the time. It was co-ed, which was huge. It was non-denominational, also huge. And affordable.
This sounds like they're starting this shit right, and I think I like these people.
I actually kind of, yeah. After looking at this, I was like, okay. Like,
all good things come to an end.
But also, I would have to say, as somebody who is childless by choice, I do like funding other people's children. Don't send me a letter saying I can fund your children.
Is that something, is that like a normal thing for people that don't have children? Like they still have the want and desire to provide for something?
Not everybody. I do. But other people, I don't think that is.
So you're like the potential rich aunt that some like kid is hoping to have.
I am the childless aunt that you are so fucking lucky if you want me in your life. But also I'm annoying.
If you want me in your life.
You're stuck with me. Right? I know there's two of us. It's great. yeah. So their goal, was to choke and die. No,
don't do that.
That was
that's what happened to their kid.
That was just,
yeah.
Close, yeah. They were, all of this was in order to produce cultured and useful graduates. Presently, it sits on 8,000 plus acres in the center of the San Francisco Peninsula. It has, it's huge.
That's like a huge space in a high rent district. Actually, right. That campus is beautiful.
Is it? It looked really stunning from the photos, but I have not been there. It has research facilities, art centers, a hospital, and more than 700 other buildings on the campus. They have roughly 15,000 students, 2,000 plus faculty, and 7 schools of study, you know, for example, business, engineering, etc. And then a slew of famous and influential alumni.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Stanford alum as one of my students, and then she went off to start her dream job as a ceramics studio.
Cool. She became a studio.
She became, basically she turned into wood and concrete and whatever other shit you need for a building, and that's what she is now.
perfect. I mean, awesome.
That's what community in college does for you. It turns you into buildings.
Perfect. Yeah, she went to Stanford. It made her smart. She went to community college. It she made became her a building. Perfect. Also, at least based on their numbers, so who knows, but it does seem to be remarkably well-balanced in regards to male and female enrollments, and actually has a pretty high mix of different ethnicities. So they are not just rocking the white kids.
Right. Stanford, not assholes.
Right.
Hey, not all white kids are assholes.
Well, and actually...
she's like...
Yeah, and she's man, we're moving on before Lolo loses her mind. Yeah. No, it's actually affordable. Weirdly. For undergrads, almost all, if not all, of the tuition is covered, depending on usually the parents' income, and then some like things like room and board can be fully covered as well. So that's pretty freaking cool. I think it gets a little different when you go on to your, like, you know, doctorals and stuff like that, but for all of your undergrad stuff, like, you're actually paying very little, which is very cool. So all in all, they seem to be a pretty, like, pretty cool school. They're too cool for school, and are
they're the wow. coolest school.
You need more time out of the house.
I'm a mess. It's great. And then on top of all of that, they are one of the highest ranked colleges in the world. So.
Oh, apparently it has the lowest acceptance rate in America at 4.8%.
Huh. I wonder, I mean, I guess just because of the whole.
Well, so it says that their student to faculty ratio is really good. And so that is.
Yeah, it's like 5 to 1 or something like that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, look, if you can have, that's basically having small, like a small thesis, like seminar class, which is amazing.
Yes. So, yeah, they're like, we're not going to let everybody in, so we can still have tiny, tiny classrooms. And actually pay for your stuff, because if we let more people, yeah. I also now, though, I'm thinking, like, actual teeny tiny little classrooms, like...
No, I think they get full-size classrooms.
Like not... Zoolander?
Yes, that is exactly what I've...
Built for ants? It's...
Right.
These need to be at least 5 times larger.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. All right. Enough of all of that, the history, the weird dog stuff. We need
delete all of the dog stuff. I don't know how like that goes about it, but just delete all of that.
Delete it.
Delete. All right, we need some serious spooky ookies. So let's get spooky all up in this bitch.
I have a question.
Okay.
Is the ghost actually Leland's
it's Gandhi.
Stanford.
Wait, what?
Isn't the kid's name Leland Stanford? Something?
There's some thoughts. Can I get spooky yet?
No. You bitch.
Okay, now you can get spooky. It's not Leland.
Spooky, get spooky up this bitch. Let us get us off of this race right? war.
Seriously, no, you're not really trying hard.
You're really
enough.
Not.
You remember how difficult we are to talk to?
This is character building skills with right. you, and you're seriously. Not taking
you
it seriously.
You have to start. Like I love.
You see how we've done this? We're done attacking each other, and we need an outlet.
Once it's all me now.
Right.
All right.
This is your own fault. You Lolo, brought us together.
She's fragile. We actually have to be careful with her.
I mean, I've lived with her all of her life, so I think it's fine.
You have? Like, in my closet? What's going
on? I mean,
here?
Just in the general world, while you're
I actually do hope that our badgering has clad you with a suit of armor to defend yourself against...
I mean
the life that we live, like the people in the life that we live. People are assholes, not just white people, but people in general are assholes.
But and she loves me the most.
Well, you're an second. Asshole.
I know. I know. But she loves assholes like me and you. So, you know, there we go. And so you've attracted the assholes, and now we're running around like cats, and you can't control us.
See, she's waiting. She's trying to figure out how to get us.
Because she can literally just mute our mics, and yet she doesn't. She just lets us continue.
So I made it through, what, like four sentences? So
nothing. You've pretty much not made it through anything.
I'm allowed to get catty all I want.
No, you can be stern, but you don't have to be piercing.
It's again, my you can do what I mute want us independently. It's so easy for you to control us.
It's like
us,
blood in the water.
You don't want
Lolo,
to.
It is like blood in the water. Yeah. We are sharks.
Yeah.
We are sharks.
We do have a lot in common.
First off, on our tour.
There you go.
Of the spooky-ooky things. I need a ruler to just like smack
you have
you guys.
A fucking mute button
that doesn't inflict pain.
It makes us stop talking though, and that's all that you really want.
Really?
Ugh.
And it also takes away our power.
She's doing it again.
I know.
Liza, go.
I know. I'm really encouraged.
What the hell is going
but
on
it's not
here?
Happening.
I'm gonna have to shut you up in order for her to go. You shut your mouth, damn it.
But no, wait, I don't have the mute thing anymore. It just lets me kick you out.
Oh.
But why would you give her that knowledge? Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'll stop.
Okay, so we have to go back to the very beginning when Mr. and Mrs. Stanford dabbled in spiritualism, particularly after the death of their son.
I thought you were going to say they performed experiments on their son.
No.
Spiritualism. Way fucking different.
Yes.
Oh my god.
They are not playing Frankenstein. They are just playing with Ouija boards, which we've told you.
Are they really playing with Ouija boards?
I mean, they're not specifically, but like the mediums and such that they're seeing.
I mean, I'm already very, I feel like medium. So I get that mediums and some of our family members have been really into the whole medium after death thing. And I think that's nice and all, but I do get really mad because I feel like people are just preying on people.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and especially, you know, they were kind of like, I want to say in their like 20s, 30s-ish when spiritualism like really exploded onto the scene. And so
yeah,
then,
what's the time frame that this is happening?
Well, their son died in 1885, which is, I think, around when they really kind of got into it. So I think somewhere around like late 60s or 70s, like 1870s-ish is kind of when spiritualism really went like, woo. And at that point, everyone and their mother and sister and everyone
went woo-woo together.
Yeah. Where they were all very much like, yes, I too am a medium. I too am sneaky enough to knock on a table and such. So I'm sure that there were some who actually had some sort of thing going on, but the majority of them were probably very, very, very fake. But they were, like I said, they were so freaking devastated about losing their son that they had just this kind of desperate desire to know his fate in the afterlife and get to talk to him one more time. So it was very sad. They did, though, go to seances in Paris, New York City, and even held some in their own home. But unfortunately, they all ended in disappointment. I know. Jane, though, continued to attend seances for years to come. She eventually kind of gave up on actually attending them and then just kind of followed it a bit. But one famous medium named Maud Lord Drake claimed that she guided the Stanfords in their spiritual journey, which led them to the creation of Stanford.
Okay, so I'm not mad at her anymore. Great freaking idea. That actually sounds like the best scam ever. Reddit for social good. So you get rich people that want to spend a whole bunch of money, and you're like, I can read your child's thoughts. And it turns out that your child would really appreciate if you contributed to society on a grander plane by like giving affordable quality education to people.
What do you think? This is like Christianity.
What are you talking about?
It's the same model.
No. Christianity is like, hey, I think it would be a really good idea for you to donate to our church, which is not going to help people. But
that's not what they say.
Of course, that's not what they say. Because if they said that, then people wouldn't help them. They're like, oh, no, we're going to go help people. But no, instead, we're going to just kill thousands and thousands of Native Americans or, you know, whoever else pisses us off.
All right, your time's up. Continue.
Well, after that incredible rant, it was all a load of bullshit. She had never really had anything to do with them other than possibly meeting them once at a seance. But Leland Sr. did maintain for years that his son did come to him in a dream and gave him the idea for Stanford. So maybe it was just a different type of spiritual influence.
I had a brief moment where I thought that I might like mediums using it for good, but then it turns out no, they just are assholes as we go back to the usual.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, mediums. What was I watching? Oh yeah, I was watching this show where this guy, like, his wife died, and so he was like desperate. Like he wasn't going to mediums. He was just desperate to like understand what happened. And then this woman walks up to him and is like talking to him like a normal person and like really kind of hitting it on the nail how he's feeling at this current moment. And he's like, oh my gosh, like somebody really gets how I'm feeling. And at the end of this like hour-long discussion, she's like, okay, well, maybe we can set up a session next week where where we actually, like, she gives him his business card and she's like, my rates are this. And he looked down at the floor and he was just like, I'm ending it. Like, this is, Jesus Christ. Like, no compassion whatsoever.
Yeah, it's, again, I'm sure there are some people out there that have some sort of capacity for something, but
I totally think that, and I also think that ability for people to do cold read is actually a pretty awesome like skill. Mm-hmm. But a cold read is when you kind of come up. So that's one of the I get really into this shit.
Don't go too far. Just high level.
A cold read is going to be when somebody just is introduced to you and they're like, hey, I seem to feel like there's a person in your life that's trying to contact you that's recently departed. And like, they'll just say stuff
like
in a way.
It's like very generic.
Yeah, that are generic enough that you can start to bring it in, but also be really good at picking up like kind of non-verbal
cues. Yeah.
From people so that you can start to hone in on that. And I think, like, I do think that is actually a superpower because it's really cool when people can do that. However, I just see way too many people using that for bad.
All of these, what are they called?
Mediums?
Mediums, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking mind readers. All of these mediums should go into, like police work and start identifying who's lying and who's fraudulent.
They did have mediums on police work for a while. And there was like one that actually was like good at it, right? I feel like, Lizzie, you should know.
I I mean, I do feel like we had one case where they brought in a medium and she had been like, it was, you know, they're like by the water or something. And they did find her like by a river or, you know. Could you imagine, though, just how draining that would be? I mean, it's hard. It's hard enough, I imagine, to be a cop having to deal with like murders and those kinds of things. But then to be somebody who could like actually potentially talk to or feel, you know, I don't know.
I would like to refer us back to the movie Ghost, the 1990 movie Ghost, and Whoopi Goldberg really illustrated that that feeling quite well, which is why she got an Academy Award.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, all of that kind of does tie into the next stuff. In an official capacity, the university has actually had some really interesting dealings with the paranormal. In 1912, they became the first university to officially study ESP, which is extrasensory perception, for anyone who doesn't know, and psychokinesis.
That sounds terrifying.
We love to watch Japanese anime, and they call ESP espers. And it took us so long to figure out, what the fuck is an esper? And they're like, oh, it's ESP. They just say it as a word.
Aww.
It was really cute.
That's adorable.
Esper.
Esper. I love that. Okay. Well, over 4 years, they did around 10,000 experiments conducted on 100 subjects, but it was concluded that the data failed to reveal any cause other than chance. But then, in the 70s, the CIA backed a secretive research project known as the Stargate Project. They basically wanted to know that practical applications of remote viewing, which is like very similar to an out-of-body experience that you pretty much that you control. So basically the idea is like you can use ESP to see or sense something that's like really far away.
Isn't that like scrying or something like that in D&D?
Probably.
Are you like referring to that situation where like you like aren't looking at somebody but you can tell that somebody's looking
you
at
can,
you?
Can no you can look at somebody with your like mind's eye. So I can like think about you and then see you even though I'm not right. there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a much farther away type thing of yeah, a little astral projection-y kind of out of body, like, yeah, you don't necessarily have to be like touching the person or near them or whatever to be able to see what they're doing or sense what they're doing, that kind of thing.
Breach of privacy.
Yeah.
Get out. I mean, I wonder if they have like what do you do if that's like a thing that you can just like it just happens. You're like, oopsie doops.
Yeah, I know, right?
Damn it, I don't want to see grandma fucking shitting on the toilet again.
I mean, it really just sounds like Santa Claus, in which case I already am a little bit questionable about.
Okay.
Santa Claus has espers.
But could you then see your own taint?
Well, I think it really depends on whether or not what your remote viewing experience does it have to be from the point of view of somebody else's mind?
Right,
I
or is it
know.
Like you
or can it
looking
just
through
be
binoculars,
like a hovering, kind
orb.
Of above the room, sort of
right.
like thing,
like a three-dimensional camera,
like or can you like project yourself into somebody's finger?
That's finger painting their taint.
Right.
Can you imagine? You're like.
You're
doing accounting.
Why would you say that?
You're like doing accounting or you're like doing something.
And all
really
of a sudden you're just
like,
oh my God, a
like,
taint. I have to go home.
Yeah, sir. I wish I
had. Yellow submarine?
That face is so
on
good.
A taint?
What the fuck?
I wish I was recording that.
I would never, ever. Know that I was randomly like, you know, like when you do like close-ups of like different skin body areas and you're like, what the fuck is that? Or you're like, oh, that's not a butt, it's the crack in your
I
elbow.
Think every man would be able to identify a taint only because the skin between an asshole and a vagina
but you
is
said
not a very large amount of space, but you know that if there's a stretch, that's a fucking man. All you out there.
Do you look at a lot of guy taints? Have you like seen? You just told me that you hadn't seen your taint.
I've seen a lot of taints in my life. Yes.
Okay.
What's your price on that? I mean, we talked about your price last week.
No price.
Sucking giant.
No
cock.
Price.
You'll just do
no
it
price.
For free.
That's
He's
a
like,
result.
Hey,
that's,
do you need me to look at your taint?
That's a result of males being 13 and nobody around just to do anything with. So look at this taint.
We just learned a lot.
Here, look at my balls.
Dudes are way more likely to show their junk off to just whoever.
Right.
As opposed to women are like, no, I haven't even seen it myself. I don't want to show
Girls
you.
Don't show each other their things?
No.
What? Really?
Boobs, yes. Vag, no.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you show your vag to somebody? I feel like that's like,
because
hey, my
vag
looks
like,
different than your vag.
Like, it's not just, here's the deal. Not only would you have to pull down your pants, you can't pull down your pants and just like flip it out and be like, hey, here, look at this. You have to pull down your pants all the way, and then you have to spread them and sit in an awkward position and be like, can you like arc your head down a little bit to look more?
Right, I feel like that's a party like thing.
No,
like, right?
It is not a party game. Anyways, back to our out-of-body experiences. The CIA wanted to use this whole project for psychic spies / warriors.
Yeah,
so I guess,
like
I guess,
the X-Men.
Yeah, like you could just like explode somebody's brain from the other side of the universe.
God, what the fuck was the CIA doing when this
Hey, I think that this is a legit, like, I think it's a legit thing of, like, hey, it would be really cool if it worked. Why don't we just see?
Dude, but, like, think of the people, like, that they actually, like, were the directors to this program, and somebody asked them, well, you know, you were in the CIA. What did you do? Did you solve any crimes? Did you do? And they're like, I had unlimited funding, and I tried to get people to flick other people's taints.
That is an entirely different statement, but yeah.
Technically, that's all they did was they tried.
Technically, they only tried to get them to just observe, not flick. No flicking.
You don't know that.
It's classified. Observe.
Continue.
I know shit.
Okay. Well, it officially ended in the mid-90s after, quote, failure to yield useful
the
application.
Mid-90s?
Yes.
And I was alive when they were trying to flick paint from the far?
Yes.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. Yep.
It went for 30-something years? Or no, not 20-something
years? 20-something years, yep.
Oh my god. All our money. Oh my god.
Yep, this is what we're spending our money on. But many think that the program never actually shut down and it's still running, but like in super secret squirrel mode.
I kind of think that it probably isn't going in super secret.
You don't know shit.
Mode.
It's classified. They're still trying to flip
I
that.
I know so much shit.
In declassified documents, it was revealed that the famous illusionist Uri Geller was one of the early subjects in the project, and he apparently impressed their parapsychologists, who claimed that he, quote, demonstrated his paranormal perceptual ability in a convincing and unambiguous manner.
Nice.
So
he's good at playing fake.
Probably.
Again,
that's exactly
if
what
he
that
can,
says.
That I don't think that people that can do the cold read thing are actually faking it. That's just
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
They're
highly functioning at observing and then making snap judgments and rolling with the punches as they come.
He was so good that he could look at somebody's face and be like, yeah, he's looking at a three of hearts.
But this is the out of body thing. So this is not up close and personal. This
right.
is what's happening
in like
else.
Another room or some shit or what?
I don't know. It didn't say. So all of this, the Stargate program with the CIA, was the inspiration for the 2009 movie with George Clooney, The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Which now I need to go, I have not seen it, but now I want to go watch it.
That's weird.
There you go. On to our first place on campus.
Oh my god, Jesus which is Christ. Taking forever.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I wish somebody would shut the fuck up.
Who do you wish would shut the fuck up? Exactly.
Starts with an L, ends with an S. Put them together.
Wait. That was good. That was really good.
Yeah.
My name doesn't end with an S.
Yes, it does.
No,
yes.
It doesn't.
You specifically decided that you wanted to be plural.
See what we're doing? See what we're doing?
The Tresidder Memorial Union, which opened in 1962 and was home to a 14-lane bowling alley. Thanks for that thumbs up!
God, I'm gonna be a fucking ugly old man. Jesus.
You are. All right.
Shut the fuck up. Fuck you.
I'm gonna dish some of this shit back, okay?
Continue. I didn't hear anything you just said.
Perfect. They eventually closed it down in the 80s, but supposedly one of the maintenance workers didn't get the memo.
Oops. He just kept going?
Well, he apparently was mangled by the pin machine. And
wait,
like,
this is at Stanford?
Yeah, so they had a bowling alley. I mean, oh. Yeah, and somehow it's apparently
mangled by a pin machine.
Yeah, you know the thing that sets the pins?
I didn't even know that that could mangle you.
Just seeing a guy like, there's some guy's bowling, and then like he's so drunk he just keeps throwing the ball, and there's like a guy stuck in the ball, like,
yeah. Oh.
I just see, like, you know, when the thing comes down to pins and there's just like some
it
limbs
probably
and stuff.
Was like some weird sex thing. He's like, oh. Now that it's all over, I've been thinking about this.
He was fucking the finger holes and the bowling right. balls.
Gross. Well, he now haunts the grounds because it sounds like he died from said mangling, I guess.
We've all thought about it, okay?
No. But we do know how you like to, you know, appliances and things like that. So I guess
okay, that was one fucking time with a shop back, okay? One time.
Well, now you're talking about wanting to fuck a bowling ball, so
right.
Shody McGee. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not about fucking it. It's just I could fit in that.
You're like,
small little chody.
There is a hole, and I have a stick. Maybe we should try to put these two things together.
I mean, that's how I got
I
with
get
my wife.
That logic, but also, you're the only one.
That's not true.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Ask your husband right now.
No.
Right now.
I mean, I could.
Ask him. Yes. Go ahead. Go for it. You know
no,
the answer.
Lisa
I know the
said
answer.
No. Lisa said no.
Yeah, well. Ask him after we're done with this.
Well, no.
He's tried.
So nowadays, the union is a main hub with restaurants, convenience store, banks, fitness center, hair salon, and more. And I guess one of the barbers who has worked there for almost 30 years said that people will just come like flying out of the southwest corner of the building, presumably scared out of their wits, because that's where the bowling alley was. He's like, yeah, just for no reason. He'll just see people like,
like that. I feel like that's like a guy that's just not very creative, but like wants to be part of the fun. And he's like, yeah. And then there's this guy, and he just sat cross-legged for a couple hours, and and I asked him what was up, and he said, I saw a ghost. And there you go. It's haunted.
Best ghost story ever.
Never again will I think of crisscross applesauce ever in the same.
Also, I guess there's a narrow.
Is it weird that I'm like looking down at her and I don't feel good about it? Like, I just, I'm like,
if,
with the glasses
I mean,
and everything, I'm kind of just like, yeah, I don't know about that.
Gross. It's not a face I need to know about. Okay. next week's gonna be psycho, you guys. There is also a narrow corridor.
Got it right in her eye last week. She was so pissed. She said
That's why you should wear your glasses.
So she said, don't put it, don't get it in my eye. And I said, I won't. And she, and then, said, and then it just did. Like rocketed right into her eye.
Fucking asshole. That's she like was the just, worst.
She punched me in the fucking nuts.
You deserve it.
As you should be. That is exactly what has to happen if it goes in your eye. That shit hurts she and it's hard to get so out. Hard.
Then I told everyone online.
And now you've told everyone on the
Oh, it was so fucking amazing. Mistakes were made. Why are you looking at me like that now? Stop.
I can't tell how I'm looking at you. I have now taken off my glasses. But try not to get any cum in my eye.
Jesus Christ. I'll try better next time, I swear. It's not going to happen again. She'll never let me do it.
Yeah, right,
that's like you ruined it. The end of blowjobs.
You know what? That's the thing. That's the thing. That was the most frustrating part. It's like, I've ruined this for myself. I alone have ruined this.
You did. Mm-hmm. Consequences of your actions. Mm-hmm. All right. Back on track. Once again, I have one sentence for this fucking paragraph. There is also a narrow corridor leading to a storage room that is where the bowling alley used to be, and employees and one person's dog absolutely refuses to enter because it's just like so creepy crawly and full of bad juju. Noodles, you gonna make it?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's still thinking about his failure, which, I mean, I honestly would regret that too. Yeah. You really screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah, I really did, didn't I?
Sure did. All right, next up, we head to the Cantor.
You should get her some goggles.
She is not. We're never finishing. I thought about it. Cum goggles. Like little swim goggles.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good idea. Okay, but anyways.
Thing? Are cum goggles a thing?
Yeah, they're just goggles.
I mean, if you're going to do it, though, go fancy and get some, like, steampunk ones, you know?
Or, like, safety goggles. Like, what do you want to look at, really?
Yeah.
Whatever you
I kind of want to look at, like, suntanning goggles. You know, the buggy eye ones that kind of, like, make you look like rock lobster?
But those have a hole in them. There is still the...
No, they don't.
No, it's got a little cover over the hole.
Oh, right. Does it? Okay.
That's what I thought. I don't know.
Mm. Are you just staring into the sun?
Yes. It's like why my vision is so bad.
I used to stare into the sun like a lot.
It doesn't
surprise
me. What
the fuck is wrong with you? Jesus.
Well, now my eyes are fucked, so there you go.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we head to the Cantor Arts Center, which was one of the original buildings on campus. So one day, Ray... I didn't write down his last name. Who was a preparator, I guess? Preparator?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
I'm sorry. Let me say it one more time. Preparator.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I figured you would probably know what that was.
I do know what that is.
There you go. So anyways, Ray comes in to work with his daughter, who's like 5 or 6 at the time, and during the day, he's called down to the storage area to move some things around, so he's like, oh, shit, okay, I gotta do my job. So he reluctantly sets up his daughter with like some cartoons, shows her where his coworkers are, that is like just down the hall, and then he takes off to go deal with the stuff. So he ends up getting caught up in what he was doing. It takes him a lot longer than he initially thinks. And so he rushes back to his office. He's all worried. But then he finds his daughter just like perfectly content sitting at his desk doodling. And he's like, you okay? And she's like, yeah, totally. I'm fine. And that, quote, the lady in white had come in and let her know that he was held up and coming back soon.
Oh, the ghost is nice.
It is a nice ghost.
The art ghost is a nice ghost.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Go arts. He actually wasn't sure who she was talking about, but put it out of his mind until later, because, like, people, I guess, would stop in his office all the time, so he assumed it was just one of his coworkers. But later, they're walking through the Stanford family room, where there's all kinds of, you know, art and things and stuff from the Stanford family. And his daughter pointed and said that the lady that said that that was the lady from earlier. And she was pointing at none other than a portrait of Jane Stanford dressed all in white.
Nice. See, I like Jane Stanford. I think she's pretty cool.
Nope. She fucked with the spirits, and the spirits stole her soul for the rest of eternity.
No, she's cool.
That's exactly what happened.
She's cool.
How do you know?
Because I was there. Mm.
You're just angry.
He talked to the Ouija board. Well, speaking of Jane,
she made a college.
She's our next stop. Nope, she's not. I mean, kind of. Our next stop is the Stanford Family Mausoleum, where all three family members rest. It is on the college grounds. It originally was going to be the Stanford Family Home, but then when Leland...
Oh, and then everybody died. Oops.
Well, then Leland Jr. died, and they were like, we don't want to live right here anymore. Like, too many bad memories.
Right.
So they built the family mausoleum instead. Now, when Jane died in 1905, it was quite the mystery. Now, most history books say that she died at 76 due to heart failure. But here's where we add in a little true crime
into Ooh, color me intrigued.
Our spooky ookies for the week, because it is much, much more likely that it was murder.
Dun, dun.
Who wanted to murder her?
Well, we'll get
there. That's part of the story.
Yes. Why don't I tell you?
Ooh, won't you?
Are we gonna find out that she's a horrible person? Because I really liked her. Okay, cool.
No, she just had a very shitty end to her life. I mean, she had it kind of rough. Anyways.
But... Yeah, I think the whole child death thing might have really kicked it off pretty rough.
Yeah. Well, and he was like their miracle baby. Like, she didn't have him until she was like 38, which at the time was...
ancient.
Yeah, it was bad. And then her husband died before she did too. So like,
is 38 ancient
for making babies? Yeah.
After, what are you talking about?
After 35, you are considered a high risk pregnancy. And can I tell you how many people wanted to talk to me about, like, in my general 30s, about how I needed to get cracking? To that, I say, fuck you.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the current day with all of the hospitals and medical. So that's 1870,
yeah.
Having a baby at 38.
Is huge. Like, that's because for the most part, like, yeah, it's really hard. And also, you're way more likely to have a child that has some sort of, like, issue or some shit.
Mm.
How did their kid die?
Typhoid fever.
Okay. Yeah.
So we start out this part of her story on January 14th of 1905, when Jane drank some mineral water at her house on Knob Hill, and she thought it was like really weird and bitter tasting, so she made herself vomit. And then, I don't know, because sharing is caring, she has her maid and secretary taste it too.
Oh no.
And they're both like, yeah, no, that tastes, quote, queer and bitter. I guess it wasn't enough, though, for it to be an issue for them. So that's good. So she sends it to a pharmacy for analysis, and they found that it had been laced with a huge dose of strychnine.
So everybody's gonna die now.
Strangely, they all survived, which is good.
Wow.
I know, considering it was such a huge dose.
Jeez.
Yeah. Now, depressed over this whole incident, she was suffering from a chest cold on top of that, and she was worried that the current university president, David Starr Jordan, was definitely not the right person for the job to, like, be in charge of basically her baby. So she's like, you know what? I need to get out of here. So she decides to head to Hawaii for some R&R at the Moana Hotel.
On the night of February 28th, Jane requested a glass of bicarbonate of soda for her stomach, which her secretary gave her. And then she woke up her secretary with cries of pain, saying she had no control of her body and she thought that she had been poisoned again. So they quickly get doctors there, and when he arrived, Jane was seized by a, quote, titanic spasm that progressed relentlessly to a state of severe rigidity. Her jaws clamped shut, her thighs opened widely, her feet twisted inwards, her fingers and thumbs clenched into tight fists, and her head drew back.
That sounds awful.
Yep. And then finally her respiration ceased. End quote. So
Jesus.
Yeah. Not good. So poor Jane, she finally is I guess nicely let out of this torment that she's stuck in. The doctor did do everything possible to try to revive her. They pumped her stomach. They did CPR. They tried to make her vomit. Like, none of this works. And she was pronounced dead.
Rat poison.
Strychnine?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yes. So soon after, an autopsy and coroner's jury were conducted, where it was very quickly concluded that she was poisoned by someone or someone's unknown.
Okay, cool. That's really helpful.
Right. But things get kind of weird because for some reason, Jordan, who was the president of the university, was already on his way to Hawaii for who knows. And when he gets there, he immediately hired his own physician who declared that it was heart failure, not poison, that killed Jane.
Wait, in Hawaii?
Yeah.
She wasn't in Hawaii, was she?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's in Hawaii, and then they're like, hey, I just need another doctor to look at this because I'm pretty certain that you diagnosed my murder.
Here's the deal is that you can get an autopsy done and a coroner report to either showcase the cause or the result. And the result is that you have a cardiac arrest. And then often people are like, oh, she died from a heart attack. And you're like, no.
That heart attack.
She died from
being
poisoning, and the result was a cardiac arrest.
Right. Well, so there was this big autopsy and coroner's jury. Like, there was multiples of them, and they were, like, highly esteemed doctors and such. And they were all like, yeah, she was fucking poisoned. But then Jordan shows up for some reason, and we're talking 1905, so he's on a boat. He had already been on a boat to Hawaii for some reason. And he gets there and is like, hey, janky ass doctor, I need you to say something else. And so the doctor was like, yeah, totally. Thanks for this large sum of money. She definitely had a heart attack or heart failure. And so then Jordan made a pronouncement to the press that that was what had happened. And so that's what stuck and ended up in most of the history books, was that Jane had a heart attack. Now, all of this is like extra suspicious against Jordan, in that Jane was kind of a pain in the ass at the university. You know, it was everything that she had left, because her husband had died, her child had died, it was a memorial to him, and so she was super fierce and protective and kind of a, like, mama bear about it, and she was really not digging what Jordan was doing with her baby. She even had an insider spy who was fired soon after her death by Jordan.
Interesting.
Who was keeping tabs on Jordan for her, and so she was actually on the verge of firing him from the position.
So that guy totally killed her.
There's no official, like, there's still no official who killed her, because technically he was on a boat, so he could not actually have killed her.
So that guy hired a, like, could have completely gotten assassin, and or if it was like one of those like really slow poisonings over time kind of thing.
Well, and the secretary was at both. She's the only person that was at both. Now, granted, she had been like a loyal employee for like 30 years, and she got a really large endowment when Jane died.
There you go.
But, you know, so maybe she gets paid from Jordan. She knows she's getting this huge also gonna endowment. Get
a, right. You're like, hey, you could have more money, and I know you don't even like her to begin with, because maybe she didn't.
Who knows? But it seems very likely that somehow Jordan got to the secretary, and that she somehow had a hand in it. Mm-hmm. But all in all, it doesn't really seem to matter, because it seems like in the end, Jane never left the hotel. And now she is seen in multiple areas, and she will tap on guests' shoulders and employees and such. And she's like looking for her room, which is like...
So wait, this is in Hawaii?
Yes, so this is technically not at Stanford. It is Stanford adjacent, because it's Jane Stanford. But
She had to go somewhere else to die, so she haunts there. That's too bad, I feel. But she was also haunting Stanford too, right?
They do. Yeah, there was the lady in white. So maybe she...
She's just was so great that she got to haunt two places.
But it's a little sadder at Hawaii, because she seems to not be able to find her room, and so she's like constantly bothering people to be like, do you know where my room is?
Is she nice about it?
Yeah, I don't think she's mean about it or anything.
Honestly, I think what would be more terrifying is if you just randomly heard choking.
Ew.
You know, like, why did your door just open?
There's probably going to be a thing that comes through the back.
What the fuck?
We have had conversations about how my house is definitely haunted, right?
What in the fuck? I'm talking about a fucking ghost choking, and then your fucking door opens randomly?
Well, as long as I don't die, which I'm really voting that I'm not going to, because we're going to stop talking about it.
That's fucking ridiculous. Can you close it? I don't want to see a gap of black there. Please. I'm waiting for eyes to just
stop it. Stop.
I don't want to look at that.
Yeah,
close that damn door.
No, if I touch it, it's going to come out and get me.
Please close that door. Please close the door.
No, now she's scared.
Why did it do that?
Because it's hot. Her house is like 100-something years old.
Close the door, Lolo. Why are you looking out there? No. Okay, good.
You know what would be even creepier is if your little like male flap just started like flapping.
Stop, guys. I'm in a very small and confined space.
If that door opens again, I swear to Christ.
It's going to be your door next, dude. You know how that happened the last time, like, boxes dropped or some shit.
That's true.
No, boxes dropped at my place, and then boxes dropped at
your
place.
Boxes dropped at my place first, and then they dropped
at then yours, yeah. So, what if his sliding door just, like...
Right? I'm going to watch just, that like, mirror door.
Yeah.
Don't. Oh, I've got a crack in mine, too.
There's no ways there?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just going to tell myself that.
It's watching
you. Okay, but I also think she's a good ghost.
I do, too. Yeah, I don't think there's anything bad about Jane. She just seems a little turned around. And then she just kind of wanders. And I mean, I guess if you're going to be lost, Hawaii and like
sounds
luxury
nice.
Hotel is not a bad place to be lost.
Right? Except for you're just stuck in the hallway.
Right, with tourists.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, but it's just tourists watching.
That's true.
Because they're not actually getting in your way at all, because you can just like float through them. So you just get to watch them and be like, wow, this is where fashion is going. I am so glad I am dead.
Yeah, right? Like, oh my gosh, if I have to see another fucking floral shirt, I swear to God.
It's like all you see there.
It's all you see there.
I've never been, so I don't know. but I can
don't go. You'll die from poisoning.
Right? Or ghosting.
Ghosting.
Ghosting is a new death term.
Perfect.
I swear, if she, I don't want to see that bitch choking. I don't want to see that door open ever again.
Bruce, I wish I had Michael's number right now. Just like text him, like, I need you to go open the door.
Like the door handle just slowly.
Yeah, just really slow.
No, at that point, I'm like, there's nowhere for me to go in here, though, guys. Like, I'd have to break out. No, I'd just have to stand up and scream. There is a window, but it's like screwed.
Then you have a way out.
It's screwed shut.
I don't care. Break it.
That sounds like not going to go well for me.
It's not, but you're going to be alive and you're going to save yourself from that ghost. And it's going to be clawing after you. And so you're going to have to
move. Fuck you. Can we move on?
Nope, I'm out of ghosty shit. So it's gonna, I'm just like, going to let you guys keep
pull, it's going
to
pull on your feet as you're trying
that
to get
through. That
was
all ghosty shit? No, that I don't like any of this.
That was all the ghosty shit.
You know, okay, I had this dream the other night. It was actually quite terrifying. I almost pissed myself, legitimately. I was in a similar situation like you are, where I was in a room, but there was no window.
Mm-hmm.
And this ghost being, I don't think it was a ghost. It was just a being.
I don't believe in ghosts.
I don't. But this being in my dream, it was like a large, very lengthy, kind of like stick figure thing.
Slender Man?
Yeah, you know, seriously.
Kind of, right? Kind of like the same type, but he was all...
What?
What?
Your door is open.
I don't have more lights in here.
It is open
it
now.
It is cracked.
You closed it. I saw you close that door. And now it's open again.
Can we move on? Or call my husband.
Is nobody home? Are you just by yourself?
Well, the room out there is dark.
You both look so nervous.
Ah!
Oh, fuck me! Fucking face! God damn it.
Did you text Michael?
I did not!
For those of you that's out there, Lolo's husband just jerked open the door.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, but did he do any of the other ones?
Michael, did you open my door?
You asked for me.
I didn't ask for you. Wait, well, I mean...
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's a ghost. It's a ghost asking for him to come down. And open the door because you won't open it for it.
It was the ghost. No. He heard me when I was like, "Can somebody please call Michael?" Because he was sitting out there. He was sitting out there.
He has no idea what we were just going through, does he?
So that was the just the last time where he actually
the ripping open of the door was Michael.
So the other two.
Did you at any point in time touch my door before then?
No.
No.
So,
did you notice any ghostly? Have you been sitting there the whole time listening to our thing just outside our well? Since Rick and Morty ended. So okay. He's been listening, but he didn't see it. He didn't see anything weird. Did you see my door open?
Did you just pee yourself? I would have pissed myself if a fucking door just jerked open after we're staring at it. Jesus Christ!
Wait, say that again, Michael.
I saw it open like a tiny bit.
You saw it open a tiny bit. Okay, we're just trying to figure out how that might do. Well, basically, Noodles is terrified now, and he's going to pee later.
Noodles is talking about a ghost twice, and the door opens each time, and then, oh my god.
Well, we're talking about shit that we shouldn't be talking about.
Keep that fucking door open. I don't want to fucking, I don't want to see that door close again ever in my life.
Well, we did the spooky ooky. Noodles, you are not going to hold up well when we go to the haunted museum, are you?
I don't believe in ghosts, but I also am very jumpy, and I hate being startled. I hate it.
How I was the one with the door, not you.
Yeah, and I'm watching you, and I'm responsible for this if I'm the one that's caused this dilemma. With my neural transmissions.
Again.
My neural pathways are creating this.
You still
mission.
Haven't watched The Host, so you need
he
to go watch
stared
it.
At, he stared at goats.
I did. I stared at goats.
And your door opened.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's like, it's the same thing that happened with the fucking the boxes. You had a box, and then I thought about it, and then a box happened.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Lolo always has a box, but, you know.
I mean, yeah, but...
You can't see it, but
right. But you can.
Where did that term come from? Like, when did that happen? When did the term box?
I don't know. That's so totally not on the point, though, about ghosts and the fact that you peed your pants. So,
I didn't.
You did.
He almost.
Probably I think we all did. I think we all did.
I mean, try to deflect it all you want. Lisa, did you see it? Was it terrifying? I didn't see it. All I know is that it was open. And
well, so I missed the first one because I have to make the screen small so I can see you guys and my notes. So I just saw
the one that actually
I saw the door
him.
Open slowly. It was like closed and then it just slowly opened and then just wavered there.
Yeah, so I missed that, but I did see then the
you closed it.
You closed it, and then again, there was, it was, like, just open. I didn't see it open. It was just, like, open all of a sudden.
What's more terrifying to think about is if that ghost, I know it didn't happen this way, but in a movie setting, if a ghost, like, whispered into the ear of a person in the house saying, hey, let me in, like, I need you, in order for a human being to open the door because you weren't allowing
you're
him in.
You're just making up shit now.
No, I'm just saying that would be fucking scary as shit to see in a movie. I think that would be a good script. Oh my god.
I'm so excited to take you to spooky things.
No, I don't know why. And Alexis loves it. She loves because I came in her eye and now she's fucking pissed at me and she's gonna fucking do stuff to me. Like,
you know what's really great is when you go to those things and you like everybody knows that you're the chicken of the group. They point everybody else will point out that you are the chicken in the group when you're not looking.
I mean, I'm not
that
big of a chicken.
So that you are more picked on than the rest.
Here's the deal. I when it comes to real life experiences, I'm willing to do anything. However,
to do what?
I'm willing to go into
why?
I'm willing to go into situations that are not safe. However, when it's me in my own head, that is a dangerous place for me, and I don't like it. And then my brain starts thinking about all the possibilities.
So,
and then somebody scares me.
Like came from
exactly.
Yeah, but we're gonna get to see things that we have talked about. We're gonna see Ed Gein's cauldron. We're gonna see the Dybbuk box. Like,
isn't that not a good idea?
You don't open it.
This is the start of a bad movie.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a bad idea.
So, are you joining us, Lola? You gonna be there for that day?
I mean, I
no. What she just said it was a bad decision. Like, why would she?
Right. This sounds like an awful idea, and exactly what
I'm coming.
Invite all of this stuff in. I should do it, which is kind of how some of my friends think, but. I mean, I
think you should. I think you should start. I think you should put some salt on the door frame. I think you should start burning incense, and you should probably. You should probably start, you know, masturbating because I don't think ghosts want to attack people who are masturbating. That's why I masturbate all the time. That's what I do. Not on camera. You don't have to do it on camera. But I'm just saying.
I think that's where we should end this week's episode.
Gotta go. Bye. Gotta go save myself from ghosts.
So get we did the thing. Noodles is gonna go do the thing, alone because his wife is in another state.
My God! Do not say that. Not right
about
now.
About the fact
the
that
eye.
About the eye thing.
So have fun sleeping by yourself.
Mm-hmm. All I'm saying, Noodles, is that if a door opened in my house, it probably opened in your house too.
Mm-hmm. You just didn't see.
Oh my God.
Oh, you are so evil.
That was a good one.
It was really good because now he's going to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have guns here.
Don't.
What's that going to do you good for a ghost?
Anybody.
I don't think anything is going to help me with a ghost other than masturbating, which I've been doing for years now. You know, I was told that when I was a young boy, if you don't masturbate, ghosts will kill you. So I've been masturbating.
You just wake up and there's a ring of salt around your bed.
Salt.
Uh-huh, that's what I thought it was.
Right.
Okay, I gotta go.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Rate, review, subscribe, buy some cool shit. Check out our Patreon, the website, all of that fun stuff. And we will be back next week where we will be live in person, all in the same fucking room. It's gonna be weird. It's gonna be crazy.
There will be no actual fucking.
I hope not. Lolo might paint Noodles' taint. Who knows?
Right, that's different. And also dominatrix.
Yes, yes, yes. I'll work on my dom outfit. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. So make sure you come back for that. And on that weird note, goodbye from me.
I'm gonna need a permission slip from my wife for this. She's not gonna be in town. Oh, man. All right, gotta go.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our website at todieforpodcast.com. If you'd like to follow us, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at todieforpodcast, as well as our fluffy fam on Instagram at todieforpodcast_fluffyfam. If you'd like to send us an email, todieforpodcast@gmail.com. Cover art is thanks to Joelle Haight, and original music was created by Vincent Amston. Have a spooky day!